Good evening. It is good to see everyone. It's good to see that, well, for the most of us, it seems that the bad weather maybe has gone around us, so we can be thankful for that and just continue to keep in prayers others who are affected by the weather that has been going through the nation. As was mentioned in the prayer, my wife and family and I will be traveling to Alabama, Lord willing, Thursday, and we'll be working with the congregation down there for the next 2 weeks in a kind of a trial capacity. And we're hopeful that things will work out. And I understand there's a couple, at least one in particular, that said he's praying against it. But I appreciate the desire for us to stay. But I'd like to just take just a few moments. I don't want to take up too much of our time for the lesson, but I really appreciate what Brother Harold said in the prayer, in that, you know, change is never easy. I agree with that. But as I told Miss Linda today, a preacher does not a congregation make. You know, a preacher can be a great help to a congregation, but a congregation is not good because it's a preacher. There's a preacher there. A congregation is not successful just because there's a preacher there. And you need to keep in mind that you've got some men here that are very concerned with the work, that are going to make sure that the work continues, and you've got women here that are hardworking and concerned with the work. And I don't worry about you. I'm going to miss you when we do have to move, but I don't worry about you at all. I think the congregation here has the strength that it needs and has the members that it needs to continue to carry on. And I believe that there's a future here. I know there's difficulties, and it seems very difficult to preach the gospel to some in this world that we live in. But just because we're moving does not mean that it's the end of this congregation. You've suffered much, much worse, and you came out stronger on the other side. And so you're going to continue to get stronger and continue to grow if you will continue to work together. And that's just something I don't think we can talk about enough, is the strength and the love of this congregation and the current concern that you have for one another, and that will keep this congregation going. So just keep that in mind and know that no matter where we end up, as long as you don't all come at one time, you're welcome in our home. And you can come in groups of 5 to 10. We've hosted 19 before. But you're all welcome to come and visit us, and we hope to stay in touch with you. That's one of the blessings of having lived in different places across this United States and attended different congregations, is you have family in so many places and friends and loved ones. So just know that even, you know, when we move, you will not be far from our hearts, that's for sure. But I want to look this evening at Matthew chapter 11. And while you're turning there, you ever miss a phone call? I am really bad. On Sundays, I turn my phone on silent Sunday morning walking down. I generally remember to turn it on silent walking down to the building. And I usually forget Sunday afternoon to turn it back on. And I oftentimes forget Sunday night to turn it back on. And I've been known to grab it Monday morning and go, 8 missed calls. Man, that's something. It's easy to miss. Or maybe you forget and leave your phone at home. You know, in this world that we live in, we have cell phones. We carry them with us everywhere we go, but yet we still tend to forget them at times, and we miss phone calls, and we get a little irritated. I'm calling their cell phone. They're supposed to have it with them at all times, and why aren't they answering? And just a case in point, no offense, Anna, but this morning I was calling because one of the cats was just irritating me all the way down as I was coming down to fold the bulletin. And so I was like, I think you need to check on the cat food. I think they're out of food. And I called and called and called and called and called and got in here to the copier, and there was Anna's phone sitting right there on the copier, because it's just real easy to just, they're so small, and they're getting smaller, and it's easy. We hate missing phone calls, don't we? Especially important ones. Maybe someone that we've wanted to talk to, someone that we haven't talked to in a while, and we missed their phone call, and maybe we try to call them back, and we just can't get back in touch with them. We hate missing important things. Maybe you were out somewhere at a store, and, you know, you're out and you're shopping, you're doing what you do, and then lo and behold, you get back home and someone calls and says, I saw you in the store and I tried to get your attention. And maybe it's somebody you haven't seen in years and you would have loved to have been able to see them and to talk with them in person for a period of time, but you missed it. You missed your opportunity. Well, in Matthew chapter 11, there in verses 28, 29, and 30, and as I've titled the lesson this evening, Jesus is talking to you. And this is something that we do not want to miss. This is not something that we can get on a voicemail and go, okay, well, I got the idea of the message. This is something we want to pay close attention to. We want to make sure that we catch what Jesus has to say. And in Matthew chapter 11, there in verses 28 through 30, Jesus offers this beautifully worded, tender invitation to us. And we, excuse me, we oftentimes use this when we're talking to the lost and saying Jesus is offering His invitation for you to come to Him. And the majority of us here have already obeyed the gospel. We've become Christians. But you know what? I think we forget the message that Jesus is giving us. And so we need to be reminded from time to time of what Jesus has said. So let's read there beginning in verse 28, Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, when we look at the things that Jesus has to say, once again, many times we apply this to those that are lost in the world and trying to get them to come to Jesus. But there's times where we forget what Jesus has told us. We've accepted His blessings. We've obeyed His gospel. But as we talked this morning, we've gone and we've become busy in the world. And maybe Jesus is having to say, "Come on back. Come back to me. You've loaded yourself again with all the cares of the world. Come back." And so as we look at this, we see that "come to me," it implies an invitation. It's Jesus inviting you. And nobody wants to miss the invitation of Jesus, do they? No one who understands eternity wants to say, "No. No, Jesus, I really don't want to go." And yet, we need to be reminded that Jesus, as we sing, invites you here. Jesus is asking you to come. In Revelation 22, there in verse 17, John, as he's recording all these beautiful visions in the book of Revelation, all these powerful visions in the book of Revelation, there as he's closing it out, he's offering these final words. He's given us this beautiful scene of heaven, of the victory of Jesus and His angels over the devil and all of His host. And then Revelation 22 and verse 17, we read that the Spirit and Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. And so we are told to come. And Jesus says, "You come to me." And that signifies where we need to go. We're not asking Jesus to come to us. You see, Jesus has already done everything that He can do for us, hasn't He? He came to this earth. He lived the perfect life so that He could be that perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross and He's gone to heaven. And so now it's our time to go to Him. We can't come to what we want. We can't be what we desire. It's not come and do whatever you want. It's come to Jesus. And like I said, many have obeyed the gospel. They've initially joined the body of Christ. They've been baptized. And maybe it's time that they need to hear, "Y'all come back now." You hear? Because they've left. They've allowed the world to move them away from God. And we need to remind ourselves of the need to come to Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, as Jesus is speaking there and John is recording all this speech of Christ. And in verse 6 He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me." We have a song in our songbooks. There's just one way to the pearly gates. And it's Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need to follow that. We need to make sure that we are doing what we can to be pleasing to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, there we have another of the brief speakings of Peter.
As the apostles are there in Jerusalem trying to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling them of Christ who has been crucified and has arisen and is our Savior. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 we read that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus says, "You come to me." And look at who He calls. He says, "You come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." That's us, isn't it? I mean, think about it. We're always worn down. That's what the world does. It chips away at us. You turn on the news and you become disheartened at all the things that are happening with all the death and destruction in Chile and Haiti and China, and now we've got tornado season is beginning, hurricane. They're saying, of course, they did this a couple of years ago, said this is going to be the worst hurricane season ever, and I think one minor one made landfall. But all these things are beginning, people are dying, and it's disheartening. And we read of little ones 4 years of age that are just racked within and without with cancer. Strong young men that are brought on their knees through a viral. When we look at these things, it disheartens us. And Jesus says, "You come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden." In Romans chapter 3, there in verse 23, as Brother Jared brought out in one of his lessons, he says, there Paul says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We're all weighed down with sin, aren't we? Without Jesus, there's no way to remove the weight. Without Jesus, we're carrying it with us. It's not like in the days of the Old Testament where they gathered together every year and the high priest would lay his hands there upon the goat and essentially transfer the sins of the Israelites on that goat and let it loose into the wilderness. It's not like that. We carry our sins with us. And maybe we've obeyed the gospel and initially our sins have been washed away, but we've gone back into the world. We've continued to commit things that we know we shouldn't do. We continue to act in ways we know we shouldn't act. And we're still carrying a burden of guilt. Jesus says, "You come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden." When you look at people today, They look like that farmer who's been working in the fields all of his life, and they're just bowed down with the heavy weight that is on their shoulder. All the stress that they have in their life, all the cares and concerns, and these weigh upon us. We need to return to Jesus. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, as we have Mark's brief account and many wonderful things there recorded. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." When you find that you are caught up in sin and you're weighed down with it, then it's time to come to Jesus. As Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he says it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And you look at Paul. Paul had been a Christian for a good number of years, hadn't he? Paul had been serving the Lord for a good number of years, but he still understood that it was only through the blood of Jesus Christ, the salvation, that in coming to Jesus, that those sins, all those Christians he had put to death, all those Christians he had beat, all those Christians he had thrown in prison, all those Christians he had ripped from their homes, he knew that it was only through Jesus that all those sins could be removed. And so if you find yourself weary and heavy laden, and don't we all, when we look at the world and we worry about all these things, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time in your life, or maybe you haven't. And you're racked with the concern of the sin in your life. Then heed the words of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden." He goes on, he says, and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your souls. I'm going to tell you, you can look this world over. And you can go and you can stay in the finest hotels. You can look at the most beautiful things this world has got in God's creation. You can enjoy all these things, but unless you come to Jesus and you give Him your burden, you're never going to find rest for your soul. Your mind, no matter what the beauty is, no matter how you feel physically, spiritually, you're still going to be heavy burden. It is only through Jesus that we can find rest for our souls. In Matthew chapter 1, there as Matthew is recording the birth of Jesus, the events surrounding the birth of Jesus and the things that are going to be happening, there in verse 21, the angel says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." I can't imagine a life with that burden. Knowing that you were there for the sole purpose of bearing the sins of the world. He came to die for us. He came to take the guilt on our behalf. We talked several months ago as we looked at this idea of the big picture of the Bible and salvation and how it's found throughout the Scriptures. And we, through our sin, deserve to die. It's something we owe God. Death. And yet Jesus came to pay the price for us. Jesus came and He says, "Hey, I'll take your sins. I'll take them with me on the cross." It's that song we sing, "They are nailed to the cross." Our sins, my sins, are what put Jesus there on the cross. He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. Now what we sing, He gave me a song. Cast your burdens on Jesus. We wallow in self-pity. We wallow in our grief. We moan and groan and complain about how our life is not what we want it to be. And it's solely because we refuse to give it to Jesus. To turn our lives truly over to Him. So He says, "You come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls." Now, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean all the problems that you face in your life are gone. But when you look at it with that eternal picture in mind, those humongous problems that we worry so much about, they're not that big. They're minor. It amazes me to read about the Apostle Paul, and he talks about all these things that he faced, and he calls them momentary light afflictions. Beaten, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, followed from city to city. He says it's momentary light affliction. Why? Because he was looking towards heaven. He had cast his cares on Jesus. And no matter what the world threw at him, even the very stones of death being thrown at him, it's not that big of a deal. Christ has taken the burden away from me. Whatever I face on this earth is just light, momentary affliction. Paul, while racked with guilt over all that he had done, found peace for his soul. None of us have caused the death of Christians purposefully, have we? None of us have hauled them before the magistrates and voted for them to be put to death. None of us have pursued them from city to city. And yet Paul was able to find rest for his soul in Jesus Christ. And you can too. One of the biggest fears we have in this world is dying. And as Christians, we might fear how we die. You know, we might would prefer, "Well, I'd like to die in the bed asleep, or sitting in my easy chair, or looking out over a beautiful scenic vista." We might not want to die because someone's shoving a knife through us, or shooting us, or torturing us, or we fall out. We might fear how we die, but as Christians, we should not fear death. By casting our burdens upon Christ, we don't have to fear the things that are waiting the other side. In Hebrews chapter 2, there in verse 14, the author of Hebrews there says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." We don't have to fear what's on the other side. We don't have to fear death. Jesus says, "You come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls." In the book of Revelation, once again, there in Revelation 14 and verse 13, we find some of the most beautiful words there. One of the most beautiful words of comfort for those that are Christians. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, John records that he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." That's us, isn't it? That's any Christian that has remained faithful unto death. He says, "Yes," says the Spirit, "so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds do follow them." Oh yes, life seems difficult. Life seems hard. It wears us down. It places a heavy burden. But if we come to Jesus, we'll find rest for our souls. And Jesus says, "You come to Me, you'll find rest for your souls, and you take My yoke." Now, when you read that, in the beginning, it seems like that's not such a good thing. Think of the yoke that was placed upon Jesus, the burden that He had to bear. He had to bear the sins of every person on the face of this earth. That doesn't seem easy. But when we read this, this idea of take My yoke upon you. Take implies effort on our behalf. It's not just come to Jesus and go, "Okay, Jesus, I'm yours." And then you just go about your life. There's effort. The idea here is Jesus is saying, "You come and you be obedient to My gospel. You bear the burden that I've prepared for you." His burden that He's prepared for us is that we obey His gospel and we remain faithful the days of our life. Now, when we look at that from the eternal perspective, that doesn't seem so bad then, does it? You come to Me, you obey the gospel, and you remain faithful for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, and you get eternity in heaven. That doesn't seem so bad, does it? You see, Jesus has prepared a yoke for us. He says, My burden is easy. It's light. Take His yoke. Follow His will. In James chapter 1, there in verse 22, we read that we are to prove ourselves doers of the Word and not hearers only. It's not just listen to the lesson and go, "Oh, that's pretty good thoughts there, preacher man." It's not just reading the Word of God and going, "Well, you know, you make a pretty good point there, Paul. That's an interesting thought." You got to be doers of it as well. In verse 25, we read that one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Come to Jesus. All who are weary and heavy laden, find rest for your souls. Take the yoke of Christ upon you. And Jesus says, "You learn from Me." Jesus in John chapter 5 and verse 39 rebuked the Jews, and He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." And He says, "It's these that testify about Me." He was rebuking. The Jews were reading the Word of God every Sabbath day. They'd have a specific passage from various parts of the Bible that they would read together. And He says, "You read that and you search the Scriptures because you think you've got eternal life." He says, "If you were really looking at them, you'd know I'm the Messiah. You'd know I am the promised one." He said, "These are the very verses that testify of Me." We've got to learn of Jesus. You can't come to Jesus without knowing Him. You can't be anything to anyone without putting forth the effort of learning of them. He says, "You learn from Me." In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 2, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians there in Rome, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is." Do you catch that? Not what the will of Tim Henderson is, not what the will of any man is, but what the will of God. You're going to be conformed by the things that God has provided, by the teachings of Christ. We must learn of Christ. One of the things we can learn about Him, He says here in Matthew chapter 11. When He says, "You come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon Me and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Well, that's something that's severely lacking in the world today. Humility? Ha! No. No. Arrogance is the rule of the day. It's all about me, what I want. We're arrogant with one another. We're arrogant with God. We're arrogant with Jesus. What can you do for me? But if we truly learn of Jesus, we learn His gentle, humble nature. You think for just a moment about Jesus in those 3 years as He was preaching the gospel. You think about that. As they were following Him and they were trying to trick Him, to trap Him. You think of Jesus the night that He was betrayed. And they came and they arrested Him. Well, He's the Son of God. And what does He do? Well, He's a model prisoner. He's what Ken hopes for every time he has to arrest somebody. No fighting. No difficulties. Just, "Here I am." That's humility. Looking at all the things, and when you look throughout the Scriptures, we find all these noble qualities in those that followed after God. You look at Joseph. We've been studying about Joseph in the young adults class back there. And you look at Joseph, and every time he interpreted a dream, and you're like, "Oh, you must be a great man." No, 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 no. I don't do the interpretation. God gives them to me. Daniel was the same way. But we live in such a pop culture that we want to be known. We want to be popular. We want everybody to respect us and to look up to us and to like us for what we can do instead of having that humble service that Jesus has set forth. You see, when all has been said and done, we need to have the attitude that we are unworthy servants. That we do not deserve the grace that God has given to us. And He closes out by saying, "You learn of Me. I'm gentle and humble in heart." He says, "For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." You know, once again, we talked just briefly. It seemed like if you're thinking of taking the burden of Jesus, that'd be a heavy burden. But this is the burden Jesus has prepared for you. He's taken your heavy weight. And yours and yours and yours. Everybody's. He says, "Here's the yoke for you. And it's not that bad. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." In 1 John chapter 5, there in verse 3, John writes that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Going back to Romans chapter 12, there in verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." The things that God asks of us are simple. They're easy. He's not asking us to do some great big deed. He's not asking us to conquer the world. He's not asking us to go and blow up individuals. He's asking us to be His humble servant, to obey His will, and to tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ and His gospel. And we've had demonstrated multiple times how easy the spreading of the gospel is in the day and time that we live. Leaving a CD behind with a gospel lesson on it. Seed sown. Taking a track off the back wall, handing it to a friend. You've sown the seed. You're just like, as we read this morning, as we looked at the parable of the sower there, Sowing the seed, sowing the seed. 3 out of 4 seeds fell on bad ground. Did the sower care? No, he was out sowing the seed. The burden is easy. To do the will of God. To remain faithful all the days of our lives. Once again there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul talks about that momentary light affliction. And he says this is what it does. He says that momentary light affliction produces for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. You know what that tells me? That says that when Paul was there in Lystra, and they drug him out of the city, and they began throwing stones, every stone which we would think would be heavy, as they thumped into the side, the back, the head of the Apostle Paul, he was thinking eternity. When he was dogged from city to city, when Jews followed him and persecuted him, when it was told that his life was in danger, that there were men that had gathered together and had taken a vow, we'll neither eat nor drink till Paul is dead, he thought eternity. When he went to Rome the first time, facing before Caesar, knowing that it could be the end of his life, he was thinking eternity. And when he was returned to Rome the second time, knowing that the end of his life was near, knowing he was going to face death, he was thinking eternity. And when you look at all these things, we too can have the attitude of the Apostle Paul that anything we face, any difficulty that comes our way, any pain or suffering we may face in this earth is but momentary light affliction and is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. We too can have the attitude that the Apostle Paul had in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 when he said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We look at some birds and we go, it's too big. We look at some mountains and it's too high. We look at some valleys and it's too deep. We look at some rivers and say, it's too strong. Paul was able to look at them and go, just like the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they do comfort me. No matter what difficulty we face in our life, if we are on the side of Jesus, if God is with us, no man can stand against us. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 55, there in verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Oh, but I'm shaken. The world has destroyed me. Then perhaps you need to come to Jesus again. Perhaps you need to return to Him. You've burdened yourself again with the cares and concerns of this world, and it's time to once again cast your burden upon Jesus, to take up His yoke, His burden. It's easy, it's light, to learn of Him, to learn the humility and gentleness that we need to face this world, and to look towards that which is eternal. What a beautiful invitation that's offered, and one that we need to keep before us every moment of our life. When we will look at the difficulties of this world, think eternal life. Think, He took my burdens all away. I have heaven. These are just momentary light afflictions. We're about to sing that the gentle voice of Jesus is calling. Don't miss the call. Pay attention to what Jesus is saying. Pay attention to the invitation that He is offering. Perhaps you've never answered the call of Jesus at any point in your life. Then today, right now is the time to quit thinking about everything in the world, to quit thinking about what the people next to you are doing, to quit thinking about anything but your soul and eternal damnation. Because if you continue to reject the call of Jesus, there will come a time when it is too late to answer. There will be a time when He no longer knocks at the door and waits for you to open it. Tonight is your night for salvation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then tonight is a night to come forward and confess that belief. If you understand that your sins have separated you from God, then tonight is the night to come forward and repent of those sins. Tonight is the night to obey the gospel call of Jesus Christ. Tonight is the night to be baptized. But once again, you may have done those things, but you've gone back into the world. You've allowed the world to weigh you down again. Then tonight is the only night you have for sure to return to Jesus. The gentle voice of Jesus calleth. Answer Him as we stand and as we sing.